Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it's great to be with you. We've got a bit of a special episode today because not only do we have two guests on the show, they also happen to be fellow podcasters. And for many listeners, they'll likely be a couple of familiar voices. So I'm pleased to say that joining us today to have a chat about all things investing are Alec Renahan and Bryce Leske, hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast. Alec, Bryce, pleasure to have you on board.
Tom, great to be here.
Thank you.
It's lovely to chat with you guys and to well, the audience won't be able to see your faces, but I can for a change. So it's that's a nice change. I will say up top that I'm really interested in tapping into some of your accumulated investing wisdom and perhaps a tip or two at the end of the show. But first, for people who don't know, what motivated you both to start Equity Mates in the first place? And I guess why a financial podcast?
So Bryce and I had very different starts to our, I guess, money and investing journey. I grew up in a family where my parents saved, bought a house, paid off the mortgage, and that was the beginning and end of the wealth building journey, you know, the classic Australian dream. Bryce was exposed to the share market and investing at a young age, and, you know, he was dollar cost averaging into a diversified portfolio from, you know, before his first job. So very different, I guess, starts. We met at uni down in Canberra and we're at college together, ended up living in a share house together. And from speaking to Bryce, he sort of opened my eyes to this whole world of the share market that I'd never really known about, been exposed to. I had a lot of preconceived ideas about what it was, who it was for, how much money you needed to get started, how risky it was. And just from talking to Bryce and, you know, just learning and starting to invest, we both sort of fell in love with it, I guess, and wanted to learn more about it. And I had the grand idea of doing a blog. Luckily, Bryce suggested, let's not do a blog, let's do a podcast, because I think podcasts have done a lot better than blogs in the years since.
Yes.
And it was really just a opportunity for us to learn in public. I think there's a lot of power in learning in public, but also an opportunity for us to knock on the doors of people and say, hey, we're the biggest finance podcast in Australia, because at that stage, we were pretty much the only finance podcast being made in Australia. Do you want to talk to us? And it was just an opportunity for us to learn. And there was no grand plans, no big ambitions. I don't think anyone was really listening early days, but over time, we sort of grew an audience. And then in 2020, we were able to quit our jobs, do it full time. And we still just are trying to learn.
I love that you guys have actually executed something that will have been the pipe dream. And you know, beer garden conversation of many young Australians as well. So well done on that for sure. You've obviously got hundreds and hundreds of episodes under your belt at this point. So this might be hard to answer, but what have been, I guess, your favorite topics that you've explored and why?
Yeah, I think we've done over 700 episodes
Equity Mates.
And then we've got a second show that is called Get Started Investing, which I think is close to 300 now or something. So
we should have
we've done a lot of talking.
1,000-episode party.
Over 1,000 episodes. So we've covered a lot of ground, and I think we've grown as investors and our curiosity has changed over the last 5 years. But for me, something that doesn't necessarily change and that I think has remained relevant and interesting to me over that whole period of time is the idea of the cognitive biases that we have as investors, as humans, but how that can apply to the world of investing. And we've spoken to many guests over the years, Ted Richards, we had some day traders in here recently, some of the big asset managers, all sort of speaking about how cognitive bias forms such an important part of your investing journey and For me, you know, the loss aversion, confidence bias. What else is there? Recency bias. A lot of
Dunning-Kruger effect.
Dunning-Kruger effect, herd mentality. There's a lot of biases that we succumb to as investors that often lead to poor returns. And so for me, I'm always interested in hearing how people approach this and use it in become better investors by trying to avoid a lot of these biases. You know, FOMO is a massive one that we would have been experiencing over the last few years, even recently with NVIDIA. If you weren't in on that, I'm sure people are pouring into that with FOMO. Bitcoin was a classic example, cryptocurrency.
Afterpay in Australia.
So yeah, I think for me, it's one of those topics that is one that you can keep returning to kind of year on year to just remind yourself about what perhaps your cognitive biases are, and then hear from other experts about how to improve that or beat that over a long period of time.
I was going to ask on that. Is it, are those kind of things still things that you're catching yourself out, time and time again, or is it something that you do feel that you're adopting over time?
Definitely still catch ourselves.
I think anyone that tells you they don't suffer from cognitive bias is a liar. Like, it is human nature. Like, it's how our brains are wired to, and so it's, you don't overcome them, you manage them.
Yeah. But I think by virtue of doing what we've been doing and trying to engage in the topic consistently, I'm much more aware of when I am doing it. And so I can sort of sit back and go, hang on a second, am I doing this trade just because, you know, or do I think this is a good idea just because it confirms my belief of what I've read? Have I done enough research here? Or am I just following what everyone else is doing? Have I, you know, given myself the proper opportunity to come up with my own opinion on it? So yeah, I wouldn't say that I've beaten any of them, but I'm definitely more aware of them. Yeah.
Again, you know, you've obviously touched on so many different topics over the years. So I'm interested, has there, you know, ever been something surprising or particularly interesting that you've learned while investigating a topic, or perhaps something that you've learned from a guest that, you know, you didn't necessarily know beforehand and I guess has stuck with you?
So much, like an unbelievable amount. I think for me, when I started learning about the stock market, I had this real idea that investing was a financial pursuit. And what I've learned from the 5 years of doing this podcast is that, like, at its core, you're obviously investing money in businesses and you want to make a financial return. But it you're investing in businesses that are just across the economy, across our society. And to be a good investor, you have to be a good generalist. And it's you're learning more about different industries and different businesses and new technologies rather than, like hardcore finance, accounting, you know, analyzing a balance sheet and stuff like that. And so we've been lucky enough to speak to people just from a variety of different industries and have learned so much from them, you know, everything from the intricacies of cancer research or lithium mining. We had someone who had been working on working at OpenAI on a bunch of the image generation stuff. And you just speak to these people and it's so interesting to hear what they're working on. And investing is the only pursuit where you can sort of monetize your knowledge. You can learn, it monetize your curiosity maybe. You can just learn about random things and that interest you. You can go down rabbit holes and there's an investing angle to it all. And so for us, it's just, well, for me, it's just opened my eyes that whatever I'm reading, whatever I'm learning about, whatever I'm interested in, now that I'm in this world of the stock market, there's always a company to invest in or something like that. So yeah, we've learned so much. And I think the lucky position that we're in now is, you know, early days you would ask people to come on the podcast and the number of no's would greatly overwhelm the number of yeses. And slowly as we grow, we can get more and more interesting people on the show.
I hope those yeses have become more frequent.
We still get a lot of no's.
What?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are working real jobs and they don't have time to come and talk with us at, you know, when are we recording this? 11 o'clock on a Thursday. So that's fair enough.
Good point. Good point. Just to get a little bit topical for a moment, you know, you obviously have the opportunity, as I said, to speak to a lot of people in the financial world. So what are you hearing? And I guess, what are your thoughts on where we're headed over the rest of 2023 in the way of, you know, recession, inflation, interest rates? I just saw that New Zealand has gone into recession this morning when we are recording, I should say. So there's obviously a lot of moving parts at the moment, but be interested to hear your thoughts on those kind of areas.
Well, I think the general feeling is one of uncertainty. Like no one can put a finger on what is definitely going to happen. And it just depends on what indicators you look at and which markets you're interested in. So I guess our message is that you can only play with what's sort of in front of you, and trying to forecast out and make decisions is often fraught. But I mean, even if you look at even the disparity between forecasts over in the US, like some of the big banks, you know, say that the economy in the US is going to grow 0.5% in 2023. Others say upwards of 2.5 to 3%. Some people say 20% chance of a recession. Other people saying, you know, 50% chance of a recession. So it all really just depends on who you look at. I mean, what we can't deny though is that inflation in both the US and Australia is still reasonably sticky, getting closer, but not within the band that both the Federal Reserve and the RBA want it to be at, that 2 to 3% range. And so we've seen pretty historic interest rate rises in both countries. I think both of them are at like 40-year highs or something like that. Pretty aggressive tightening. Overnight, we saw the Fed hold off interest rates for the first time in, I think, 10 consecutive months or rate rise periods. They've decided to pause, given that inflation is slowly coming down. But it's just one of those things where the market's volatile. All of a sudden, we're in a bull market in the S&P and the NASDAQ, and it's ripping. AI is creating a bubble. Like, it's just so uncertainty. There's volatility. So for us, it's all just about making sure you have an investment strategy that takes away all of that noise, takes away your emotions, and just allows you to plug away dollar cost average on a fortnightly, monthly, whatever basis, automate it so that you're getting money in the market and you're not trying to time it. I think the worst thing you can be doing at the moment is trying to time where the market's going and make investment decisions based on that, because that's where you really get in a lot of trouble. So
we put something up on our Instagram last week, looking back at the predictions from the start of the year, because like we're all in financial media. We know that people love predictions. People love a Money Magazine or an Equity Mates podcast to come out and say, here's what the market's going to do over the next 12 months. But those predictions aren't worth the paper that they're written on. We got a whole bunch of predictions from the start of the year and just looked at basically how wrong they were. And, you know, Bryce was speaking about cognitive biases earlier. And one of the big cognitive biases that big financial institutions that make these forecasts suffer from is recency bias. And 2022 was a really tough year for everyone. There was a big sell-off, especially in the frothier, unprofitable tech part of the market. And so at the end of 2022, everyone was negative, and there were a lot of forecasts that there was more negativity to come. And, you know, maybe over the long term, they'll be right. Maybe we have a really tough second half of 2023. But when we made that post last week, Australia was up 3% year to date. The S&P 500 in the US was up, I think, about 10% year to date. The NASDAQ up about 30% year to date. Like, they were just, those predictions were just wrong. And if you had taken them as gospel, if you had sold your shares and tried to time the market, waited for the predictions to turn to then buy back in, you would have missed what's been a pretty solid first half of 2023. So for me, it's, you know, just echoing what Bryce has said, that there are a lot of predictions out there. People love reading predictions. I love reading predictions, but that shouldn't be the basis for your long-term investing plan.
Absolutely. And I love that little bit of accountability as well. I think that's really important to look back, because it's so easy to continue to look forward and not have that kind of accountability for stuff like that. finally, I'm sure our listeners, as I said, would love to tap into a bit of your combined wisdom. Not that you haven't already dished out a little bit of that already, but is there something that, you know, you've both learned, or either of you have learned along the way that you've, I guess, either applied to your own financial lives, or maybe something that you'd wish that you'd done sooner, or, you know, knowing that you both have started this journey a couple of years ago, so you've got a few years of experience under your belts at this point.
What I wish I'd done earlier: buy Bitcoin.
I knew you would say that. I was actually going to make a joke about this. Is insert comment about buying Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Everyone always says that, but I think for me, we're at a point now where I think both of us are similar in how we invest sort of 80% of our money, which is automating 100% of the process. And whilst technology 5 years ago didn't allow us to do it, the technology these days does allow you to automate your investments from the point of being paid by your employer through to buying stocks and ETFs in a core portfolio through your broker. You can set up the transfer from your pay into your brokerage and then get the broker to make an automated buy decision every fortnight or every month. And just having the ability to do that really plays into then the dollar cost average strategy, which we have learned over the last 5 years, time and time again, that there is nothing wrong with getting the 8 or 10% average market return over a 40-year period. Like, you are going to retire a very happy person if that's all you do as your investing strategy.
Very well-off person.
Well-off.
Happiness, like, not guaranteed.
Yes, well, a very financially happy person, because, you know, studies show some of the best investors we speak to all kind of say, even Warren Buffett himself has said that you're just getting that compound over a long period of time through the market averages is just the best way to go. And so, you know, do we wish we'd done it earlier? Yeah, of course. But I think that's, we've really come to the point of taking everything we've learned over the last few years to really hone in and believe in and develop that strategy ourselves. And now we're kind of executing on that. So it sounds boring, but like, it's not going to be boring in 40 years when we turn around and go, God, I'm glad we made that decision 40 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds boring, but it's like, you automate it and then you move on with more interesting parts of your lives. We were tossing around this saying earlier in the year: you don't have to be an investor to be invested. And it's, you know, there's so many connotations about how much time you need to dedicate and how much work you need to do to be an investor. And to Bryce's point, with the advent of index funds and then ETFs and now brokerage platforms that allow you to automate investments in those, every step has just made it easier and more efficient. And I think one thing that we've learned, and one thing that people often get wrong about index funds, is it's not that the majority of companies sort of cluster around the average of 8 to 10% a year. And that's why index funds is such a powerful investing tool. The key thing to understand about companies in the stock market is that just 4% of companies have driven all of the outperformance of the stock market. And you can think about those companies today. It's the big tech stocks, the Apples, the Microsoft, the Metas. You can think about them in generations past. It was the Walmart when it was going through its massive growth phase, Boeing, you know, before that, you know, the Fords of the world and stuff like that. There is just a few companies in every generation that drive the stock market forward. And the name of the game as an investor is not to miss out on those generational companies. And there are really two ways you can do that. You can be a great stock picker and you can pick them, or you can buy an index and just buy a bit of everything and then you won't miss out on them. And so both paths are, you know, perfectly fine, and people make money going both ways. But like, that at its core is what you want to do as an investor: not miss out on those few great companies. And to Bryce's point, you know, most of our money is now in our core index funds, and we sleep well at night knowing that whatever those companies are, whatever industry, whatever country they pop up in, we'll own some of them.
I think that is an excellent place to leave it there for today. You've reminded me that I need to and go and make a purchase myself. So obviously, I'm not automated in the way I should be. But guys, this has been such an excellent chat. Before we let you go, is there anywhere that our listeners can go and find you both, listen to you both, or anything else that you'd like to leave us with?
First place to start would be equitymates.com. We have not only the Equity Mates investing podcast, but we have 8 podcasts in our network now, not all hosted by Alec and I, but hosted by other wonderful hosts. So check it out. There's podcasts for everyone that really help you on your investing and money journey, no matter where you are. So head to equitymates.com. We're on all the socials as well. If you just type in Equity Mates, you'll find us on Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn.
TikTok.
Ren's doing dances, you name it. So, give us a follow, and we certainly appreciate you having us today, Tom.
It's been a pleasure. Go check those podcasts out, guys. If you're anything like me, you can never get enough podcasts to listen to. I walk around the house with headphones on, ignoring my partner. So she absolutely loves that.
Nice.
Anyway, Alec, Bryce, it's been great fun having you both on. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, we'd love for you to share or recommend it to your own friends or family. Not only does that help us out, but they might just like it as much as you do. You can also leave us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. We'd also love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.